before we left, and we held up a little prayer sheet, which I have in my Bible here, somewhere. I do. It's somewhere. Anyway, it has all of our names on it. And we said to you that this is what makes a trip to Israel successful, is you praying for us. It was outlined by where we'd be and who's going and so on and so forth. And I've got to say, we want to thank you for your prayers, because this was trip number 31 for us. It's the 29th tour in 31 trips, but it was like flawless. I mean, thank you for your prayers. It was amazing in every way. We're going to hear bits and pieces of it today. And how the Lord spoke and what happened. But God spoke to the people in the group. We had a real diverse group of people from various places and backgrounds and so on. And our concern was, we got to go back. And a lot of them couldn't come to the orientation meetings. So the concern was, we're having to start from ground zero, from scratch, and go. But it worked. There was a flow of everything, even the weather. And you all realize that Israel was full. The hotels were all full, right? Which means, oh, man, you get to a site, there's all these other groups, and you only get a couple of minutes. We want to have more time, of course. And it was amazing how it worked. One example was up on the top of Mount Carmel, you know, where Elijah fought the prophets of Baal. You know, it never ceases to amaze me that these places are real. This stuff really happened. I mean, it's true. It really happened in those places. The Bible is accurate geographically in every way. So there we are, and there's jillions of groups up there. It's like, we'll never have our chance to share anything. And they're all bigger than we are. Just wait. And you know what? At lunchtime, they close it down. You got to get out of there. And we're looking at our watches, and this is not good. And so I just said, wait. We need to go. No, wait. And all of a sudden, we're alone. We've got it. Okay? And it was like that the entire time. Places where there should have been huge crowds, there wasn't. Or we had the place, and as we were leaving, the crowds came. So timing was everything. And again, it was because of how you were praying. We do appreciate that. Israel's 60th birthday. You know what? When we planned this trip originally, it wasn't because of the birthday. The Lord rearranged schedules and put things in a certain place, and he says, that's when you're going to be going. We did not sit down and say, we want to go on the 60th birthday. We didn't do that. That's what he had us there for. And it was just really fun to be a part of all that. Fireworks, just fun. And again, thank you for your prayers. And how the Lord spoke to me, it's pretty simple. Actually, there's other stuff which I won't share today, sometime in the future. But you know, I always have to ask the question. Okay, and I really do. I mean, I got to tell you, the one thing I like doing the most is teaching the scriptures. And the place I like doing it the most, sorry, it's not here. It's in Israel. And so there's always a little twinge of guilt of thinking, well, am I doing this because I want to do this? It's really something I like, or am I supposed to be here? Well, I heard from God, okay, that I was supposed to be there in those 2 weeks with these people doing these things. I was exactly in the center of his will. That's what I heard. And there were several reasons, and some of those you'll get in the future sometime. But besides all that, you know, when you're in the center of God's will, it's kind of fun, okay, because that's where you're supposed to be, and things work, and there's a flow. And it was fun to watch eyes opened and hearts opened and concepts made and people moving light years ahead, coming from backgrounds that would be kind of scary, and then saying, okay, I get it. And they got it, by the way. They got it. They all got it. And then saying, okay, now what do I do? Okay, and that's fun. It's fun to see that because they realized God has brought them to a place of understanding and interpretation of Scripture and of a love for the Jewish people, of saying, I need to do something about this. What do I do? And that's where you want that question, because we have the answer for that. That's what we're all about. So lots of folks are going to be getting our teachings, okay, and our videos and coming to conferences and stuff like that. But he spoke to them, as well as speaking to me. Now, what I'd like to do is a couple of brief things this morning. And if we may show a DVD if things work, if the lighting is working, and that'll be later. I'm longing for the day that I can say, can you please close the curtains? I'm praying for that day. Okay, all right. But a long time ago, along the Jordan River, where we were, Joshua and Caleb, remember them? Along with some others, were sent to, quote, spy out the land. But you know what? That's not what the word says. That's not what that word means. We think of spy as something secretive, okay? And they were supposed to bring a report back to Moses. Well, the word spy means tour. They were to go tour the land. That's what we did. And we are bringing a report back to you, okay, of what our tour was like. They were to come back and tell Moses what might lie ahead for God's plan for his people. You know, there's lots of grapes, and they list the fruit of the land. All the stuff that's listed is not in Egypt. Okay, again, we see these scriptures. Where you're going is not like the land of Egypt. You need to get out of Egypt. You need to get out of Egypt. And they gave the report of what the land was like. In anticipation of what God would do to keep his promises, the gift he gave to his people. That's a part of the gift. He gave that land to his people, to you who are Jewish. It's a gift to you. But also looking ahead to 3,400 years of biblical, at that time, prophecy of what God will do. And some of the best stuff is yet to come. Okay, a teaching tour like this, and the way it's designed, is an investment in your biblical education that you can get in no other way, in no other way. You're going to the authentic classroom of Yeshua, his disciples, and the prophets, and hearing the teachings in that context and setting. It's a life-changing experience in Scripture on site. Okay, and that's why we do it. It's important. If you're a Messianic believer, you need to do this at least once in your life. Or you could be like Joe. This was her 25th, her silver trip. I'm not going to make a big thing of this, okay? I'm really not, honest. Okay? I promise, okay? But your presence in the land makes a statement. Okay, like people are saying, aren't you afraid to come? Well, no, it makes a statement that we believe the scriptures. It's also a Zionist statement. We believe that God has given Jewish people that land. And we support that. And, you know, it builds bridges of friendship. Now, here's a clue to that one. We go back to the Crown Plaza Hotel in Jerusalem, and there's this little lady at the gift shop. There's two gift shops. There's three, actually. But there's ladies in two of the three. The one upstairs that's not quite as expensive, where she was asking about some of you. And it's been two or three years since you've been. She remembered you by name. You made an impact on this lady. She was asking how you are and why you're not on this tour, okay? But that, you know, that's significant. The gift shop lady remembers your name from Adad HaMashiach. That's significant. So you have touched lives, you have gone in the past, and they remember you. Your testimony, your lights have shined, and they remember you. This tour puts the manners and customs and background of the Bible together, because that's how you interpret Scripture. We paint that picture, which is why we're doing the book of Luke. That's what we're doing in Luke. We're taking the life of Messiah from the authentic context, the idioms that were used, the places, the people, the plants, the animals, all that stuff. That's from that time. And that way we'll understand it. That's why we're doing this. We build relationships with our own adult family, but make new friends as well. You're going to see faces here that you haven't seen before. And some of them are going to drive a long ways to come and visit us. Because there was a spiritual bond that took place. That was great. But we live in, I think, the greatest time in history to do this. Because I know the price is high, but thinking in terms of time past, it's inexpensive today to go. And we can go there quick. Go there 2 weeks, and we're back. And we've seen the land of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and Sarah, and Rebecca, and Rachel, and Leah. And the kings, David and Solomon, and the list goes on, the prophets, and Yeshua himself and the apostles. And walk where they walked, be taught where they were taught, and put it all together. But maybe the most important part of that isn't looking at the past. It's important to me, but what's happening now is fulfilled prophecy. Because if we're living in the end times, Okay, the Israel of prophecy is the Israel of today, and the Jewish people that are there right now will fulfill those prophecies. That means the 144,000, we might have seen some of them. Okay? And it was really fun to me to walk around. I bump people on purpose. I do. Okay? At the wall and things like that. I do. I bump people. I'm praying for them. I make contact. Okay? I pray for people there. They don't know I'm praying for them, but I am. It's kind of neat. I rub shoulders. Okay? At the wall especially, it's fun. It's fun. Well, Israel is his land. It's his land in a unique and special way. It's the land where all the great events of the Bible took place and the prophetic ones will. It's the land Yeshua loved. And as Ezekiel put it, he called it the glory of all lands. Our first day, I asked that question. How can Ezekiel say that? This is the glory of all lands? Everybody who went on this trip can tell you now on why it is. Because the perception isn't through here. It's through here. And the connections were made. But not just with the land, but with the people. Because everybody on this trip got the connection to link and pray for the Jewish people and support what God is doing in them and in the Messianic movement. And the vision was caught. So, briefly, I'd like to walk through it. And then we'll have Linda and Norman and Zach. I could call him Josh the whole trip. Now, he can probably, I did, but you know why I called him Josh? Anybody know why? He knows why. I have a cat named Zach at home. And you know, no, I have a dog named Josh. It's a police dog. That's why I called him. He knows. We had some good talks. All right. The trip went like this, as you prayed for us. One night, Tel Aviv. Two nights, Kfar Blum, a kibbutz in the Upper Galilee. And those new folks with us, if you miss the orientation meetings, you miss all this. The new folks, we get up there, and they look on the map, and they say, do you know that we're like 20 feet from Lebanon? I go, yeah. I say, yeah, the border's like, it's like right there. I said, a few years ago, you go up there, and there's this one strand of wire. That's the border with a little sign that says frontier. But that's not there anymore. Really? Yeah, you're that safe. It's really okay. It's just fine. Okay? Beautiful. That kibbutz has been blessed. Beautiful place. Then we were three nights at the Guy Beach Hotel Sea of Galilee. Yeshua's classroom on the water. What a neat time. Two nights Jerusalem. We were bumped out of the hotel. We knew that ahead of time because that was the eve of the 60th. And the VIPs got our rooms. So we went to the Dead Sea and had some fun and floated and had a great time. Then came back for four more nights in Jerusalem. Well, our experience went kind of like this. Because a little later, if time permits, we'll see a DVD, which I'll narrate a little bit, but you can't put all this together. When we landed at the airport, right? The airport's a biblical site. I mean, everything, we have to see what happened here when. Okay, how many things happened here? It's ancient Lod or Lydda, Acts chapter 9. Where Peter healed Aeneas and the raising of Dorcas at the airport. Okay, we land at a biblical site. We get on the bus. We were all there. Everybody was there, safe and sound. We go to Joppa, our first stop. Joppa is where Jonah went the wrong way. And those of you in our Book of Acts class is where Peter got his vision, where there was breakthrough to the Gentiles, our first stop in Joppa. Then we follow the Via Maris, the ancient international highway, to our hotel. The next day, we're at Caesarea. Caesarea, the headquarters of the Roman Legion. Okay, by the way, Caesarea is where the other part of the story of Acts chapter 10 takes place, where Cornelius lives, and Peter goes and takes the message to him, and the breakthrough actually takes place. The governors lived there. Pilate, Felix, Festus. Herod's port was there, which he built on the sand. Sermon on that one, huh? Yeah, it's true. Okay. Philip lived there. Paul set sail from there for all of his outreach trips that we studied about in the Book of Acts. Paul appeared before the governors there, before Herod Agrippa. And the revolt against Rome began there in 66. I mean, that's just in one little place. There's a racetrack there, Mark. It's not used today, but it certainly wouldn't take much to put it in use. Only they raced chariots there, but that's okay. The Praetorium, where Paul appeared, is there. The theater, Herod's palace. We went from there to Mount Carmel, where Elijah fought the prophets of Baal. And as we look at the story, you look around to all the geographical sites that the Bible names, and they're all there. You see them all, which again links, this book is accurate in geography, in history, in everything. Puts it together. Then we went to a Druze village for lunch. What's that all about? It's one of the people groups in the land of Israel. They're not Jewish. They're not Muslim. Another people group we were able to make some friends with and pray for. Then we went to Hazor. Hazor is one of the three chariot cities of King Solomon. It's an army base of ancient time. And we got to see the burn layer that the Bible talks about. When Joshua came into the land, they burnt it, and we see the burn layer. And some of us actually picked up little pieces of burnt stuff. Anyway, some of us did. Did you do that? Okay, I didn't do that either. The next day, this time. I didn't do it this time. All right. Then we, from our kibbutz, which is a beautiful place, we go to the Golan Heights and gaze into Syria this way and Lebanon this way. And what's the road we're looking at? The Damascus Road, where Paul had his encounter. We're looking at these things of saying, it's all connecting. We go to Caesarea Philippi, the source of the Jordan River, where Yeshua asks the most important question ever asked. And the answer to that question determines your eternal destiny. Who do you say that I am? Peter got it right. So we began a teaching about the rock, what he's building, who is building it, and where it's being built. Tel Dan. Okay, it's a nature reserve, but also at Tel Dan, there's Jeroboam's altar from the rebellion. And that's where the golden calf was. And you have there in that story, literally, a list of his sin, which is exactly the outline of church history. And we point that out. Exactly what they did, history past has done. We point those little gems out, because that way you can point them out to others as well. Ahab's gate system, as well as Jeroboam's, and then the most important part to me, there's a clay gate. There's only two in the world. Not stone, but clay. It goes back to Abraham's time. From the geographical setting and the story, Abraham walked through that gate. You can tell your Jewish friends that are standing there, your father Abraham came through that gate. That is pretty amazing. Pretty amazing. Next day on our way south, we went to a Talmudic village. It was knocked down in an earthquake. They just set it back up again. The significance is that that's from about the year 200. And there's about 12 of those in the Golan Heights area. 12 synagogues, nice size ones. To have nice size synagogues, what do you have to have? Kathy said money. No. That's good. I like it. Okay, that's true too. Yeah, you have to have a Jewish community. And we've been told in history past that at the year 70, at the Great Dispersion, there were no Jews in the land. Then how come there's 12 synagogues up on the Golan Heights? Because there's always been Jews in the land. They just didn't control the land. Well, some other sermon in the future on that. So a multimedia presentation on Gamla. Then went to Gamla. Gamla is the Masada of the north, where thousands of Jews died. They were defending the Roman attack that was going toward Jerusalem. And they minted a coin that said, for the sake of Jerusalem, that they laid down their life to protect Jerusalem. I want to say one thing about the hike. There was a hike at Gamla. It's the hike from the place of eternal punishment. It's quite true. We got on the bus. It's always blazing hot there for some reason. We got on the bus and counted heads, and there are two missing. Now, Zach was there, but we're missing Norman Linda. Anybody see Norman Linda? No? Okay. There's cliffs all around, right? Where could they be? So Larry and I, we go this way, and I ended up at the looking down over into Gamla, and right just on the trail is Linda Norm walking up the trail. And I thought, well, did you go down to kind of take a look and a picture? No. They did the whole thing. They hiked down all the way, did the whole tour over the mountain back, and came back up again. I got to tell you, that is more than an accomplishment. That is more than an accomplishment. Linda did that. She did it. And then the next day, there was one even worse, which we'll get to in a moment. Wow, what a hike. And you know, we're really proud of you for what you accomplished. Linda did everything. She did everything. All the hiking, the climbing, the up and she did everything on this trip. Next day, we went to Zipporah. You go, what's that? That's the rabbinic center of the Galilee of Yeshua's time, right next to Nazareth. That's where the rabbis were. You think Yeshua spent time there? Ha, you bet he did. A lot of time there. And it's interesting what we see there. This was the area where the Mishnah was codified, again, around the year 200, historical for Jewish people. Then we went to Megiddo. Anything there to see? Again, the Bible's, the geographical locations are accurate for future prophecy. Because in Revelation 16, it just doesn't use the word Megiddo. It says the tell of Megiddo. It's a tell today, but it was not a tell back then. It was a fortified city. But John's prophecy saw it as a tell, which plays a role in the end times battle. Very interesting. Next day, we get up in the morning and get on a boat, just our group, on the Sea of Galilee. We floated where Yeshua walked, okay? We praised, we sang, we danced. The calling of the 12 at the shoreline, the calming of the storms. I mean, isn't it fun to talk about that, where it happened? Gosh, I can't think of more fun than doing that. And to sing and to praise, we're just our group. We went to the Mount of Beatitudes, where the greatest sermon ever preached was given. And we're at the end of that sermon, Yeshua talks about the wise man builds on the rock. Remember Herod built on the sand? I think they were thinking those things. Then we went to Capernaum. That's the place where it says Yeshua went home. When he went home, he went to Capernaum. All right, 16 things in the Gospels happened there. Significant place. And then we went to a little spot on the beach where Yeshua appeared to Peter after the resurrection and reinstates him. Okay, moving time. Then we all went back to the hotel. At our hotel, there's a water park. And jillions of people, it's full, right? So we ask permission, can we have a mikvah at your beach? And usually they say, well, yeah, but you have to do it at this time when there's jillions of people and you have to pay a couple of lifeguards. So it's about $100. So we said, okay, that's fine. We get there, we're the only ones there. Okay, they just closed the water park. Okay, we have lifeguards. We have a wonderful, wonderful time. Just the meaning of immersion. For all of us, what that meant. And the lifeguards wouldn't take any money. Isn't that sweet? The Lord was good, right? That was cool. They just enjoyed watching us and being a part of this. Next day, we head south, down the Jordan Valley. On the way, we go to Bet-Shan, the capital of the 10 cities of the Decapolis. Yeshua was there. Gideon Spring, where Gideon picked the army by how they fought, right? No, by how they drank. So we read the story. Remember what happened? Bet-Alpha Synagogue. Again, a town is built on a place where Jews once lived. Only no one knew that. When they returned to the same exact location. Going down the Jordan Valley, we look on the left. We see what we see in our Bible, our map, the Golan, the mountains of the Gilead. Then we see the mountains of Moab and then Edom as on our way south. Then we make a right turn and go up to Jerusalem on the Jericho Road, following in the footsteps of the disciples of Yeshua, of John the Baptist, to Mount Scopus to view the city. A touching, touching moment. Next day, first thing, Temple Mount, with all that prophecy. Mount of Olives, Garden of Gethsemane, the Jewish quarter of the old city. That's all in one day. The next day, viewing the shepherd's fields of Bethlehem, remembering those links of Passover and the shepherds and the sheep. And then one of our couples did a renewal of vows. Again, which was like a wedding in Israel with the hoopah, the music. It was so much fun. It was just wonderful. Then down to the Dead Sea, we went to En Gedi, where David hid from Saul. And again, we saw the animals. Beautiful place. Stayed at the Dead Sea, had a great time. Next morning, Masada. Qumran, the finding of the Dead Sea Scrolls, which authenticate the accuracy of the Tanakh. Then back to Jerusalem, and in one day we did this. The Lion's Gate. Before I left, we talked about the Lion's Gate. That was the entrance of the Six-Day War. We walked through that. Lion's Gate. Pools of Bethesda. The Antonio Fortress, where Yeshua was tried. We were standing on the pavement, okay, where he was standing before Pilate. We walked out the Damascus Gate. Paul went that way. when he was heading to Damascus, out the Damascus Gate, then to the Jaffa Gate in the Arab marketplace and the Model of Jerusalem, where we bumped into the MJAA tour and all the execs and so on. Had a great time. By the way, since if you're wondering when this parade was, they canceled the parade because of security reasons, which is fine. We had a lot of fun anyway. We just had a blast. So, no parade. Next day, City of David, the city that David conquered. Then we have Hezekiah's Tunnel, which is 1,777 feet of claustrophobic moments. And you're wet. There's water in there. It's a lot of fun. I was the last person. There's reason. Never mind. Now, I did leave off Arbel. And you might see it in the pictures. She went down Arbel. Arbel is a straight down cliff. A cliff. Linda did this. There's handrails and cables you hold on to. Otherwise, you die. Yes. She did it. She did that. Unbelievable. She did it. She did it. At the end of that day, we went to Yad Vashem, the upgraded version of the Holocaust Museum, to remember. And then our last day, the Western Wall Tunnel, the chain of generations. There's time I'll talk about that. Moving experience about how God links together the Jewish people all through history, from Abraham to the present. Then the Western Wall, where I rubbed shoulders and prayed. Put prayers in the wall for some of you. Okay? I wrote them on your behalf. I did well, by the way. Some other time on that one. The bar mitzvahs were taking place. Then we went to the Southern Wall excavations and sat on the steps that Yeshua would have walked on as he entered the Temple Mount and remembered who all was there ahead of us. All of our Bible heroes were there. You can sit on those steps. We ended the tour at the Garden Tomb. And you know what? I always have to start praying before we go there. Lord, because you get a guide there. It's from the Anglican Church. Because England owns the spot. Lord, give us a good guide, please. Because sometimes you get a good one and sometimes you don't. We had a man named Philip. Okay, now what are the chances of this? Remember, Jerusalem is full. What are the chances of our messianic group getting a messianic guide there? And Philip is a messianic Jew, a Sabra, born in the land, and he was our guide, and he was able to link it all together from our perspective. What a divine appointment that was. Neat, neat time. Thank you for your prayers, because everything went pretty much perfect. Pretty much perfect. Norma, Linda, and Zach, come on up. And tell us how God spoke to you. I'm proud of you, Linda. I am proud of you for what you did. Come on up. You got to talk loud because we have the air conditioning going, which is a good thing. Okay? My behind.
Yeshua was our way to this holy land. He made our trip safe, secure, under his protection. He made it meaningful, knowledgeable, beautiful, and a touch of spirit in all of us. Our guides, Bob Black, Rabbi Larry Feldman, and Rivka in Israel, were outstanding. And I have to mention this to you, that the group of people that we were with became a mishpoka, a community of closeness and helping one another. Now, I'm going to share some of my experiences that I had there. Upon arriving the first day, on our bus ride over to the old city of Joppa, Joe Springer pointed out to me paintings on various buildings of a Mogen David, a star, and wording under it saying, "Amitz Israel Hai," Israel lives. And we saw that in various cities too around there. It was kind of a inspiration to me seeing that. Also, across the whole state of Israel, They were adorned with their Israeli flags just about everywhere, ready to celebrate their 60th. Upon visiting Joppa, the place of Jonah in the Bible, we had a teaching and then a song worship overlooking the beautiful Mediterranean. And as we began to leave, a young man that was watching us gave us a smile and said in English, "I am in Messiah along with you." He was a Polish missionary in the land of Israel. Now, my view of Israel is, I didn't realize that they had so much land and so much farmland there. I didn't realize that they had so many incredible excavation sites. And we were walking on Torah and biblical history. In particular, two places touched me to tears on this tour. When we were in Caesarea Philippi, where the beginnings of the Jordan River spring up, Bob taught on Matthew chapter 16, where Yeshua said, "Who do they say I am?" And Shimon answers correctly, "The Messiah, the Son of the Living God." And the Lord changes Shimon's name to Peter, which means rock, for being correct. I was touched by sitting there in the place where all of this had occurred. Secondly, when we were on Mount Carmel, that's the place where Elijah made the sacrifices versus the pagan prophets of Baal. 1 Kings chapter 18. And Rabbi Larry told us a touching story of his earlier days when he went door to door on visits as he had just become a young believer. Larry's story and seeing the place where God proved his truth and power is overwhelming. God had taken Elijah's sacrifices and made even the stones burn. This was very touching to me and hard to keep from shedding tears. Later on, then we came to Jerusalem, the city of Zion, Adonai's place of past, present, and future. I had the feeling of awe being there for the first time. The Temple Mount area, the city of David, the walls, the gates, the tunnels, the pools, and the tomb. All so meaningful, all in my eyesight, and all in my touch. Well, to sum it up, in Israel, we had hundreds of teachings and information on the scriptures. We had hundreds of excavation sites of cities, palaces, synagogues. And we had thousands of stone steps to climb up and down on. You really get in shape there. Now, I thank the Lord for this trip to Israel, being able to be there with my family. And I thank you for your prayers for all of us on this memorable Israeli trip. Thank you.
Norm doesn't know this part, but a significant point for Norm and I was when he was immersed, he just blurted out loud for all of us to hear, "Yeshua is my Lord." That was just neat to hear, you know, that was nice.
This trip was such a blessing for our family. We are so thankful to the Lord for allowing us to go at this particular time. It was our first trip, was Norm's first trip. The Lord has truly blessed us this year. We started with our son's bar mitzvah, and we're ending it with this wonderful, blessed trip to Israel. I want to thank each of you for your prayers. Your prayers, the Lord allowed us to be safe. I want to thank Bob and Susan for all their guidance and for Joe. Joe was a big influence on us also. I want to thank my husband for providing the money to go and for my son for being there and being an inspiration. He was like the wind doing all this when I was like the snail. But there were a few embarrassing times, like the time that they thought we had gone off by ourselves and we were coming up the trail. We were always last. Not because of my husband, but because of me. He stayed with me and finished it. And I want to thank him for that. There were many, many, many blessings and touching times. One of the times that really touched me was up on Masada, and we couldn't really get in the synagogue to do the teaching, so Bob took us to the room that they found where the last reading of the Torah was, and he told the story that the Americans had searched for that other, you know, nationalities had touched, and God allowed the Israelis to finally find it. And it was the exact reading from the Torah, the very last reading that the Zealots read before their death. And that really, really touched me. And the Garden Tomb really touched me. Philip, that God provided Philip for us, and he made it so real. And that we could hopefully see where Yeshua was laid to rest. That was very touching and that was such a blessing that God gave us Philip that day. We had Rivka, who was an excellent guide. She was a little stern sometimes. She'd go walking, and we knew, don't lag behind. And But it was good because she kept us together, and she would take her Bible out and she would read things from the Bible and everything. And then Bob and Larry would do their teachings, and I learned so much. I can't wait to start reviewing all the verses that I wrote down that they said to read and review each section. So anyway, it was a dream come true. It was a wonderful trip. And it was so wonderful to be at Ben Yehuda Street the night of the beginning of the 60th celebration and to be with the Israeli people and people from around the world. There was people from everywhere there. And that was a very wonderful thing to think that God had given the land back to the Jewish people. Thank you.
He had a great time. He really did. He did. That's okay. There were probably times he had that his parents don't know about, because like we had other young people on the trip, and as what has been the pattern, by the time we get to Jerusalem after dinner, the older folks are heading up to get some rest, and the younger ones are going out the front door to catch a taxi to go to town. And he was with them, and we're going, okay. And he had a good time. He had a lot of fun. We would like to show at least part of the DVD, and once this is going, I'll tell you kind of what you're seeing, if it works, if you can see it. If not, we will do something else.